on Jazz Radio KMHD. I'm Lynn Darrow, and you're live now with woodwind artist and composer Mark Lewis. Now, I like homecoming stories, and this one may be a little out of date, but I'd like to introduce Mark Lewis with the news that he's returned to his home turf in the Puget Sound after decades living elsewhere. And that's not all that's new. He has a new album, too, New York Sessions, with Portland native Essiet, George Cables, and Victor Lewis. Now, that won't be news if you've been joining us in the Bright Moments Cafe, though, because you've been listening to several of the pieces from that CD for weeks now, so you know what's in store when the Mark Lewis Quartet, with Mark on saxophones and flute, J.B. Butler guitar, Alan Jones drums, and John Lakey bass, play tonight, 9 p.m. at the Jack London Review. And we're lucky Mark Lewis had time to stop by to speak to you this afternoon. So welcome, Mark Lewis. Happy to have you here. And tell us, what brought you back to the Puget Sound area after so many years living elsewhere, and how has that move affected you musically?
Well, I was living in San Francisco at the time, and I thought that was my normal town when I went back, when I came back to the United States for a brief in, you know, months or 3 or 4 months at a time, and then I'd go back to Europe. But I had an office in Seattle with my company Audio Daddio, and we had an office in Rotterdam, Holland. So I would make the trip back and forth about twice a year to check on things and to record artists. We recorded Al Hood and Hein van der Gein and a lot of different people, Alan Youngblood in Seattle, and then we'd press in Holland. But when I came back through Seattle to leave, I wanted to say goodbye to my parents. My parents' house had burnt down, and so I didn't want to just leave them. So I stayed around and helped and talked to them. And then I was getting ready to leave, and then my father was sick with cancer. So I thought, well, I better stick around. And so I've been sticking around for my family. My dad is gone now, but my mom is around, and she's in home. So I've just been sticking around to give them more, or give her moral support. And I noticed that the Puget Sound was getting to be more like other populated areas.
Yeah. Yes, indeed, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really grown since you grew up there.
It sure has. And so I thought, well, if I stay here, maybe people will come to me.
That's good. Just building that better mousetrap and waiting for the world to beat a path to
That's
your
right.
door.
So I built a little recording studio in a small, what's called a war box. There's a station called KUOW up in the University of Washington, and they did a little interview on me. And this war box is just a small, small house that's built on the back lot of other places. And I tried to buy it, but it's too small to buy. But it's big enough to have a nice studio in with nice high ceilings.
Has the geographical change affected you musically at all?
Well, it has and it hasn't. I've always had my own style. But the musicians you play with, of course, affect you. The good thing is that since I've lived in the area, we've been getting gigs, steady gigs. I always try to have a steady job once a week at least. That way I can keep my performance chops up and do a little shtick on the mic and whatnot, try out some new jokes. But, oh yeah, I like to make people laugh.
We'll hear one of those pretty soon.
better not. But anyway, so here's the thing is that it was funny because these people that I started playing with were like old friends, Milo Peterson and all these great musicians from Seattle that I hadn't seen in years. Mm-hmm. And I would hire them. They were happy to come over because I live across the water in Kitsap County. So they were happy to come from Seattle or even from Portland. John Stoll comes up once in a mm-hmm. while, and David Friesen. And we do duos because the restaurants or the clubs that we would play in could only afford a duo or a trio. So I would keep it interesting because I figured, well, nobody wants to hear me every week, so we'll have a different person every week. And that keeps me flexible and thinking in different terms. So these people go out and play in all different places, and so do I. I mean, I go out twice a year to play tours, once on the East Coast and once on the West Coast. And so that keeps me
feeling like I'm in touch with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And so the vast waters and the green forests and the Olympic Mountains.
Oh, I stay away from those.
Yeah, yeah. Have you? You just staying in your recording studio.
Yeah, I stay in my practice room and practice.
So it's more about the company you keep, the musicians whose company you keep.
Oh, yes. And if I go out, if I do go out hike, I'd like to go out hiking, but I'm legally blind, so I take my chances every time.
Well, someone ought to head with you, and don't go out to the gorge this time. But listen, you know, I've been talking about this moment between summer and autumn when you feel sorrow for the ease of summer gone and joy at new opportunities. And so I don't smell any new jeans here in the studio, but that is probably because we can't afford them working on musicians'
that's right,
pay.
That's right.
But I have to play this track from your new album, New York Sessions. It's called Summer Is Over, from Mark Lewis's new CD, New York Sessions, on Jazz Radio, KMHD. Summer Is Over, from Mark Lewis's album New York Sessions. And he's in town to play the Jack London Review tonight, 9 p.m., with a Portland quartet that features Alan Jones' drums. And we'll be right back with Mark Lewis after this word.
Support for KMHD Jazz Radio comes from our members and from Russellville Park, an active lifestyle urban retirement community featuring independent, assisted living, and memory care apartments located on the Max Light Rail.
Back live with Mark Lewis in the Bright Moments Cafe. And he plays tonight, 9 p.m. at the Jack London Review in downtown Portland. That's on Southwest 4th Avenue downtown. And Mark Lewis, for someone who's legally blind, you have traveled widely and often alone. So I'd like to know, what's your secret to playing with so many different musicians and dealing with that uncertainty musically, as well as the personal uncertainties that come with travel?
Well, I usually listen to the musicians first before I ask them to play, whether it be online now or live, and then I see if I think that we might fit together. And a friend of mine, Jim Wilkie, used to have a program on NPR. He probably still does, I don't know. But he told me that I had a knack for putting people together. So I do that, and I try to see who will fit together in a way which everybody will be accenting one another and giving energy, trading energy without drawing energy. And I try to make it so that it's a balance, because music itself, good music, is balanced. In fact, if I had one word in the entire universe that I think is the most important word in the world, it would be a combination of love and balance.
And so how do you keep that balance when you're out there dealing with uncertainties of travel and all the other things that go along with being a touring musician?
It's hard, because if you try to make things happen when they're not happening, you can get frustrated. If you try to squeeze something in a time slot that doesn't have that needs more time, it won't go right. For instance, if I'm legally blind, so I can't move very fast. I can't see fast. I was born blind, and I was blind for 2 years, and then I went blind again completely. So I don't have the ability to understand in my brain what sight is very fast. And so if I try to do things too fast, it goes wrong. Well, that's just like life itself. If you don't allow things to unfold, they won't unfold. A flower, you can't take the petals down one by one and expect it to look nice. It has to unfold itself, and that's the way I look at music. I let the people do pretty much what they want, and I try to play with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they unfold as the concert goes on. And many times the bands, like tonight, we've never played together before, but we will sound like we've played together because they're all top-notch musicians. And jazz people do their practicing in the practice room, not in the rehearsal hall.
Yeah, or on stage.
I'm not supposed to say that, I guess.
I wonder if you allow your compositions to unfold with that kind of patience,
because
you've written so many. I mean, by one writer's count, there are 1,700 of them, and that's really a lot of composition. So what I'd like to know is, I wonder if we're entering an age now, or already in it, where jazz is being defined more by the composers, such as yourself, rather than in the 50s, say, by virtuoso soloists?
Well, I think it's half and half. We still need people to play them, but there are a lot of schooled musicians who have a lot of technique. It's just that we have to learn how to express ourselves from deep within. It's not just playing and how fast. It's not a race. It's not a competition. It's not athletics. There was a fine quote that my friend told me, a guitar player I play with up in Toronto. His name is Joe Huron. In fact, Notes for Joe, the last piece on that album, is for him. But he said, music is not a competition, but if you have to compete with yourself. And that's what I try to do. I try to get better all the time because, you know, you always have to deal with rejection in this business, whether it be from jazz clubs or from people not understanding what you're doing or whatever. You know, you always want to have more people enjoy the music on the level that you see it being enjoyed at. And I guess when you compete with yourself, you're always getting one step closer to that, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mark Lewis, live with you here in the Bright Moments Cafe on Portland's Jazz Radio KMHD. And I'd like to play another sample of Mark Lewis's composition for a quartet, something you may hear tonight. And it's a nice showcase for his work on flute, too. It's called Koan from the Mark Lewis album New York Sessions here on Jazz Radio KMHD. George Cables on piano, with Mark Lewis on flute, from Mark's new CD, New York Sessions. You can hear him tonight at the Jack London Review, 9 p.m., with his Portland Quartet. And Mark Lewis, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you here, and I know you wanted to dedicate this tune, Koan.
Yes, I wanted to dedicate it to the people that are involved in the tragedies in Texas and Florida, because I know they're suffering, so hopefully that the music gives them a little solace if they have a chance to tune into it. And they can hear that on my website, marklewismusic.com, and there's a bunch of songs for them to listen to.
And this one, Coam, tell us a little bit about how you came to write this piece.
Well, I wrote this after the Fukushima disaster, and I heard on NPR that about a story about this, and that they were the 50 people that were asked to go into the power plant to turn it off knew that they were going to basically have very bad repercussions from going in there, and every one of these 50 people went, and they all had mothers and fathers and kids, and they all had families, you know, and not one said, no, I'm not going to go. They all went at their own peril, and they were considered pariahs in Japan because the company that you work for is so important to your identity. And I thought I should write a song to say thank you to them and to let them know that they're heroes to me.
Thank you, Mark Lewis.
Thank
Hear
you.
Him play tonight, 9 p.m., Jack London Review in Portland. Mark Lewis on Jazz Radio KMHD. He plays 9 p.m. tonight, Jack London Review.